Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update from One Bills Drive. Players day off here. Big game plan day for the coaching staff. Week two is here. Back to MetLife Stadium for the Bills. This time to take on the Giants. First time in 3 years an NFL team has played back-to-back road games in the same stadium. Ravens did it in 2016 when they played the Jets and Giants at MetLife. Bills nickel corner Taron Johnson looks like the only injury the Bills sustained against the Jets, hamstring. Head coach Sean McDermott said late yesterday, waiting on more tests on Taron Johnson. Players back tomorrow for a noontime practice. Arizona Cardinals have signed veteran tackle Jordan Mills to a one-year deal after a workout with them yesterday. Mills appeared in 87 career games in his career, 82 starts, 53 of them. Here with the Buffalo Bills over 4 years. He signed a one-year, $3 million deal with the Dolphins in May, but was released at the end of their training camp. Well, the Texans thought they had improved their offensive line when they got Laremy Tunsil a couple of weeks ago, but after allowing 62 sacks a year ago, they allowed six last night on quarterback Deshaun Watson. New Orleans beat the Texans 30-28 on Monday Night Football. The Saints had 11 quarterback hits in that game. The Oakland Raiders got enough to beat the Denver Broncos last night, 24-16 the final score. Raiders fans let Antonio Brown know how they felt about him with several chances in the field, and it didn't appear that they missed him on the field. Derek Carr, 22-26 for 259 yards in that game. Antonio Brown spent part of yesterday with his new quarterback, Tom Brady, taking the initial steps towards building some on-field chemistry. Devin Funchess is going to be out for at least the next 2 months. Colts coach Frank Reich says the wide receiver underwent surgery for a broken collarbone yesterday. He'll go on injured reserve. There is a chance he would return later this year. The fifth-year wideout went down late in the fourth quarter of Indy's overtime loss to the Chargers on Sunday. And the Buffalo Sabres young players, their prospects, lost to the Penguins 6-4 last night to finish round-robin play in the NHL Prospects Challenge here in Buffalo. 2 days away from the opening of training camp for the Sabres, players officially report on Thursday. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, and a brand-new Tuesday guest for us. Happy to have him. He is the host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network every morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears preseason television crew, former Jim Rohn Show producer. Happy to have Kyle Brandt on the line with us. Hello, Kyle. John Murphy and the great Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us.
I am thrilled to be here, guys. I'm flattered to be invited. I was going to wear my Daryl Talley spiderweb sleeves, but they're in the dry cleaners. It doesn't matter. We're talking about the first place Bills. And Steve, as only you would understand, it's football season, so we're all fired.
That is perfect.
You're fit right in.
Way
now,
to go.
I can tell.
That is perfect. And, you know, I got to tell you, too, we bring you in here because we kind of get our noses on the grindstone, and we're talking about our Bills all the time. You kind of have this national view of everything. Give us a synopsis. This was a pretty good weekend one of the NFL, wasn't it? It was pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, last night was an instant classic. That Saints-Texans game was unbelievable. It had everything you could want. But I got to say, even though we're here in New York and we're looking all the way across the country, I felt like a Raider fan last night. I have never rooted harder for the Oakland Raiders in the post-Antonio Brown nonsense to go out and win, to prove it, ridiculous as it was. I wish they would have won by 5,000 points last night. But I had a silver and black spike shoulder pad going on because I was so annoyed with the spectacle, with the ridiculous drama, the way that the Raiders from top to bottom stood by this guy and endured him and apologized for him, and I think actually kind of embarrassed themselves in doing it. And then he publishes a video celebrating like a child when they release him. So I was all silver and black last night. I loved that game. It was an important thing for the Raiders, and it was the last game of the week, just perfect. And I just, that chant that the Raiders fans were doing, which was very profane and normally I would frown upon as a father, I was doing it in my living room. Great night for Oakland.
And with the kids in the other room. Kyle, on the Raiders and on Antonio Brown, yeah. You know, the feeling here among some in Buffalo is it was all planned. This is exactly what Antonio Brown wanted. Didn't want to play with a kind of a dysfunctional lineup in Oakland and wanted to wind up on a good team like the Patriots. How much of that do we believe? What do you think?
it's a crazy time to be alive, right? You know, a lot of people are comparing it to Randy Moss and another Raiders receiver that the Patriots got. Randy Moss did not have a YouTube channel at the time. There was no brand. There was no tools with which to use this. If Antonio Brown showed up and said, I'm not feeling this. I don't know. I don't like Derek Carr. I don't like John Gruden. I gotta get out of here. It's absurd. I mean, I've been in relationships before where you don't want to break up with the person, so you just kind of act like a jerk and you don't pay attention to them and hope they break up with you. It's lowbrow. You get over that when you're in your 20s. You don't do that anymore, especially on a professional level. And frankly, in a move that cost Antonio Brown, what is it, about $21 million? You better make sure this works.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the things that you can't get your head around. And certainly he has made it known when he was in Pittsburgh still that, hey, the money's not important to him anymore. So you got to think maybe, and that's where it kind of takes you to this. You think, maybe if the money's not important to him, what's left to do? Well, it's win a championship. And if there was a place that you wanted to go to win a championship, there's only one place everybody can talk about where you're going to have a shot every year, and that's New England. We've seen New England. How smart do they look? They offered a high couple of draft picks to trade for him to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh didn't want to do it. And I think maybe – could you just see in that conversation Pittsburgh picking up the – I mean, New England picking up the phone with Drew Rosenhaus and saying, oh, okay, it's not going to work out, but if down the line in 6 months you want to make that – we're thinking about this number. So if something – if everything goes to – you know, goes away someplace else, this number is waiting for you. I could see that.
Yeah, it's here. It's the classic move. It's you're interested in a woman who is spoken for, but if you ever break up with them, I just here's my phone number. I'll be here. And right. The question now is, I mean, certainly as it relates to Bills fans, is the thing going to work? Right. Is AB on the Pats going to work? It reminds me, if you go back to the 90s, when in the middle of the Chicago Bulls dynasty, they decided to bring in this wacky power forward from the San Antonio Spurs named Dennis Rodman. And I remember everyone at the time said, this is crazy. You don't want to break up the chemistry. Here's what the Bulls had. They had the head coach, Zen Master. Patriots have that. They have the alpha leader in Jordan. Patriots have that. And they have the whisperer. The Rodman whisperer was a guy named Jack Haley who would calm him down. I think Julian Edelman is that for the Patriots. He's already doing things on social media saying, he and AB are Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson, like right. White men can't jump, money train, right. That type of stuff. I think they're equipped to do it. What's the impression? Let me ask you guys. Let me turn. What's the impression there in the AFC East with Buffalo getting to play New England in a few weeks? Well, do you think it's going to be Randy Moss part two, or is this thing going to explode?
It may. And here's what I think. If it goes smoothly, if he straightens up and flies right, and it's a love fest, it was all planned. It had to be all planned. Now, if they're just kind of sitting on him and he starts to whine, if he's the third option for like 6 weeks, if he's not getting to play, if he doesn't get the football when he wants it, if all this stuff doesn't go exactly the way he wants it, and he starts to act up, then I'll say, okay, yeah, it's just him being, and they're going to try and sit on him. But if it goes smooth as silk and seamlessly, this had to be all contrived.
Yeah. My take is, you know what, it's just whatever, Patriots. I kind of Saturday when I heard the news, I just threw up my hands and said, whatever, Patriots, you're the Patriots. You do what you got to do.
Well, from the way they looked,
we've seen it before.
The way they looked on Sunday night, Kyle, they don't need him.
That was the question at Sunday night, Monday morning was, all right, well, we just beat Pittsburgh by 30 points. Do we need him?
Right.
And my response to that is that, you know, the Golden State Warriors didn't need Kevin Durant. But he's Kevin Durant. I don't think the Patriots need Antonio Brown, but he's Antonio Brown. If the three of us guys were to go to a Mexican restaurant and we have the enchiladas and we got the chips and we got big frosty margaritas, we don't need the tableside guacamole cart. But when it comes over, we're going to take it because it's the tableside guac. That's AB. And I think they'll find a way to use him. I do find it interesting. Carson Palmer was on Good Morning Football this morning, and he spoke – with respect to the tableside guac, he spoke strictly X's and O's. He said, I don't think it's going to be a fit. I don't like AB with Brady because Brady's whole deal is I need absolute precision. If the route's 15 yards, you can't be at 14 and a half. That's the way Brady operates. And AB is kind of a floater. I'll do it here. I'll do it here. It's what made Roethlisberger call him out last year. AB, you got to cut that route flat on the goal line. That's why I threw an interception. So Carson Palmer's take was, on the field, it is not a fit.
One thing I got to ask you, I'm going to move on. I can't take any more AB.
Sure.
You did the Bears.
You're supposed to be throwing up.
Yes. Not on air, but yes. You did the Bears preseason. How much of a shock was it on their opening game when they looked so flat offensively?
It was terrible, man. Listen, I grew up in Chicago. I had Walter Payton bed sheets. I have a lot of love for that organization. I walked out of Soldier Field after that Bears-Packers game down that beautiful lakefront, about 72 degrees. It was a funeral march. It was a really bad show. It's not that they lost. It's not that the Bears lost to Aaron Rodgers. They lost 27-24, tough game. It's that they didn't show up offensively. Now, Bills fans could relate to this in their own way. For me as a Bears fan, for my entire adult life, it's the same conversation, different beer, which is, man, that defense looks great. Quarterback, though, I don't know. Seems like maybe a head case. You could go to Cutler, of course. You could go to Rex Grossman, on and on and on. One of the biggest questions, guys, not only with the Bears, with the whole NFL, does Mitch Trubisky have it? Because the defense is ready. The coaching staff looks great. In this night, he did not have it. I mean, it was 3 points. It was a lot of this, what you're seeing here. It wasn't even close. I was there, and it was like the Chicago was hosting the Olympics. It was the opening kickoff of the NFL season, NFL 100 season, and they didn't even have a bronze medal. It was the rusted aluminum. It was a tough, tough day.
The Russians ran off with it. Yeah, I get it.
Kyle, they really did.
Are you saying Trubisky is a bit of a head case? Is that what the issue is with him, do you think?
I think the question with Trubisky is, great athlete, make the throws, run around. I don't know if he has the dog in him, for lack of a better expression. I don't know if he is a mental warrior. I don't know if he can look at Aaron Rodgers and be like, don't worry, I got this. I mean, this play we're seeing here, this was the biggest throw of the game. It wasn't even close. And he gets intercepted by one of his former teammates, Adrian Amos. It's yet to be seen if Mitch Trubisky says, don't worry, guys, we're down 5. With 3 minutes left to play on our own 25, let me go to work. I don't know if he has that yet. And
yeah.
I can't say that he doesn't. We just don't know. And he didn't in the opener.
Yeah, and we saw it last night from two guys, both Deshaun Watson and Drew Brees, of course. I mean, both those guys showed up. Was the Bears opening day a bigger shock to you than the Browns opening day?
Oh, man. That's a tough question. The Browns, I think, had the worst debut in the entire NFL. Miami, obviously, were terrible. They didn't have the expectations. The Steelers went into Foxborough and got killed by the greatest dynasty right now in sports. I can see how that could happen. The Browns losing at home by, what, 3-4 touchdowns to the Tennessee Titans was terrible. And yet, guys, one of my least favorite days in the NFL calendar was yesterday. It's what I call Overreaction Monday.
Yeah.
Every team's terrible or every team's going to the Super Bowl. I am not jumping off the Browns bandwagon. I remember a year ago, think back to the 2018 season, week one, Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers went into the Superdome and hung 48 points on the Saints. Weird things happen in week one. I mean, this goes back years. I remember clearly the Lawyer Malloy game, Buffalo versus New England, where the Bills week one looked like they were going to the Super Bowl and New England had nothing together. We see it all the time. So are the Browns going to go 13-3? I don't think so, but are they going to absolutely fall apart? Too talented, too many good players. I'm not jumping off based on one butt kicking from the Titans.
We're on the line with Kyle Brandt, host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network. You said something interesting about Mitchell Trubisky a minute ago about you're not sure if he has the dog in him. Does Josh Allen have that dog?
Does Josh Allen? I don't know yet either. I wouldn't say, yeah, absolutely. We haven't seen it. I know this. He made some big throws in the fourth quarter on the road to start the opener. I know he's fearless, which I like. I mean, we've saw him do things last year, even early this year, with complete disregard to his own safety and anything. Now, maybe that's a problem, but I like it. A guy who comes back down from that much in the second half in the season opener has definitely had some dog in him. Now, I'm not saying that he's Joe Montana or Jim Kelly, but he has the flashes of it. This was big, guys, and isn't it nice to be on the other side of one of these heartbreaking losses, to do this to the Jets? You wouldn't believe what's going on here. I was in Manhattan this morning. What's already going on and all the radio shows and all the newspapers, the knives are already out for Adam Gase.
Yeah.
The headline that ran after this loss was counting the days until pitchers and catchers report for spring training, and the baseball season isn't even over yet. So isn't it nice for Buffalo to just sub that to somebody else? Great, great win.
Yeah, it is. And the Bills did it as we kind of suspected they would, although without the 4 turnovers, the defense really showed up. And we knew it would be maybe as good as last year, but, wow, it looks way better even than it did a year ago. And it was good last year.
Well, I think all you want, listen, if I'm a fan, I know week one can sometimes be ugly. It's a weird week, especially with the state of the preseason right now. Here's all I want. I want to play some defense because the defense can come around faster than the offense. I don't want to have a ton of penalties. And I just want to survive in advance. There's no pictures in the box score. I don't care what we have to do if we score 3 points or 80 points. I just want to survive in advance. And my image of that game of watching Jets versus Bills, the one image I feel like is Sam Darnold just standing there looking, rolling out, looking some more. I felt like he did this all day, where the secondary, I guess, was just all over him. And here he's getting sacked, but there were some times he had time and there just wasn't anybody there. I'm sure you guys have seen that stat. It's the strangest stat ever. This receiver, Jamison Crowder, who had 14 catches and didn't have 100 yards, the amount of people who have done that in NFL history is zero. 14 shots to Jamison. Incidentally, I think Bills fans will be doing 14 shots of Jamison in the parking lot next week. But that's a different discussion.
That is correct. That is correct.
Hey, Kyle, we were remarking over the last day and a half here on our show about how, look, the Buffalo offense only scored 17 points, but the newcomers made big contributions. The offensive line, the rookie Devin Singletary, John Brown, Cole Beasley, that's got to bode well for the rest of the season, right?
Singletary is so exciting, isn't he?
Yeah.
Florida Atlantic, the rookie, small, undersized, but popping off these big runs, and I'm sitting there watching him run down the sideline. I'm like, I guess they made the right choice with Shady. I respect LeSean McCoy and his talent, but expensive, older, maybe not as good. Look, running backs are turn and burn. This is, you want to have the young, cheap running back who's got a burst like this. I mean, this is a very exciting. This is the kind of thing I feel like that Bills fans will buy this jersey. They'll get behind him. He's not this first-round draft pick. He's got the cool name. He goes by Motor, come to find out. He looks really good, and it's between him and Gore. There's this funny dynamic I think could work. He looks great. I know he's going to get the ball more this week.
You know, we've been talking about these teams for months and months. All these question marks are starting to get answered. Some of them seem to be answered with an emphatic, wow, look at that. That game last night, the Monday night game in New Orleans, Deshaun Watson, wow, he looked really – and, of course, we expected it from Drew Brees, although I didn't think Drew Brees was going to be able to come back 37 seconds with one timeout to get a 58-yard field goal. What a game that was. And those two teams really showed up in a big way, and their expectations, even Houston in the loss, their expectations aren't going away.
Yeah, you know, there's no such thing as a quality loss, a moral victory, and I know that players especially frown on that. But, God, that was a great game by the Texans, and it was a great game by Deshaun Watson. The problem is that I feel like Deshaun Watson is kind of crafting sort of a brand of the he was prolific and incredible and still lost. I mean, it goes back to college, to the first Alabama loss. As a rookie, Deshaun Watson went into Foxborough and went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady, still lost. Last year, loses in the playoffs. And there's also a sense – I hate to this topic because it's such a downer, but I watched Deshaun Watson – I get excited and I get nervous because I look at him just getting battered all over the field, diving, flipping. It's not sustainable. I mean, he spent more time in the tent last night than he did in the pocket. It's week one already, and he's grimacing, grabbing at his back like me in the first tee box. I love watching him play, and it was an instant classic last night, but I need some Deshaun Watson on the field, guys.
We're with Kyle Brandt from NFL Network, host of Good Morning Football. I want to ask you about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, and we don't know how much credence to put in that huge victory in Miami. The Dolphins that bad, or are the Ravens really that good?
That's a great question. I think it was Baltimore versus FIU down there, and I would encourage all Dolphins fans. I believe that Alabama plays Texas A&M this Saturday night, and you should watch your future quarterback. His name is Tua. I don't know what to make of Lamar either. You know, they kind of hit us with the rope-a-dope because in the whole offseason, there was all this talk about Lamar that they were crafting this secret offense around him. And they were even looking at film and studying things like the triple option and the wishbone. And they were going to do all this stuff. And then he shows up and it was just throw it all over the field. If you really want to, if for the diehards that really like the game tape and the all-22, I don't know what Miami was doing. It looked actually like they had 7 or 8 players out there on some plays. The safeties are nowhere to be seen. This Marquise Hollywood Brown, who we're seeing here, became only the second player ever to have 2 touchdowns on his first 2 touches in the first quarter. It was a track meet out there. I think Miami really looks the part of 1-15. Baltimore, we'll see. I mean, I think that they didn't need to bust out the whole Lamar experiment because it was just so easy. Week two, we'll find out. But we use the term watchability a lot on Good Morning Football. Guys who have watchability, obviously Mahomes, I think Baker Mayfield. Right now, I think number one on the watchability rankings with respect to Devin Singletary might be Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, look, and there's word coming out now that the Dolphins players are standing up looking around saying, get me out. They can smell that the tank in the air. And the players in the NFL, it may fly in some other sports, but it's hard to ask a guy to go out and go through some physical duress and, you know, some physical exertion and risk for a team that's not trying to win. If it goes bad in Miami, it could go extremely bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, you get guys saying, screw it. I'll be out there, but I'm not really trying. I could break up that pass. I could make up that tackle, but maybe I'll mess up my shoulder. I better just let him go. The player's perspective is really tough because they didn't make any decisions. They didn't decide to do it. I was looking at it from a fan perspective. Fans rolling their eyes about we're going in the tank. Look, the worst thing you can be, I think, in the NFL is about 6-10 or 7-9. I mean, wouldn't you not make an investment 1 year as a fan, not a player, to really stomach the 2-14 and get the draft pick and change everything, then gut it out and go 6-10? There are worse things than having a really, really bad season. The way this NFL works, guys, it's all set up to make them better. It's nailed the draft picks. It's going to be a long year, but if I was a Miami fan, I'd buckle up.
Hey, Cal, give us a preview. What's coming up tomorrow on Good Morning Football on the network? What do you got?
Well, it's Wednesday. That means we turn the page. And Wednesday, as always, we're going to the next week. And that will include, of course, looking ahead to Bills Giants that Steve and I were talking about off the air. It's a tricky game, isn't it? I mean, yeah. The Bills versus the Giants, they go and play New York, and everyone thinks, well, New York's garbage. Eli doesn't have it. I think it's a very, very tricky game because right here in Manhattan, New York, the Giants are getting a lot of heat for not playing Saquon a lot, for not feeding Saquon, a ton of it, which means I think there's going to be a ton of Saquon Barkley in the game next week. I think he's the best back in football. I actually don't think it's close. I think he really is the truth. And if you don't want to be seeing Saquon coming off a week of we didn't get him the ball enough, which means he's going to get a ton of touches, the Bills defense better be ready to roll.
Right. I agree with you, Kyle. Thanks for coming on. It's great talking to you. We'll look forward to next week as well.
Love the show, guys. Anytime. Flattered to be here. You would understand that, Steve.
He did it again.
I love it. He's part of the family now.
He's one of us. Kyle Brandt, the host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network, tomorrow morning, every weekday morning, 7 a.m. He's also a longtime radio producer, Bears preseason television crew, and a good guest. We're going to have him on Tuesdays, every Tuesday right around this time.
It'll be fun. He was great. And he's got a lot of energy. And obviously, he in that show at Good Morning Football, they're all over the league. It'll be fun to get his perspective on Tuesdays about the weekend that's just passed and also maybe a flash about what's going on ahead of him, too.
All right, we're
going
to revitalize our Twitter poll topic of the day, the Buffalo offense Sunday with 60% passes, 40% running, with big plays, with everything they did. Is that the new Buffalo offense, or was it game plan specific? What do you think? We'll take your phone calls. We'll read your tweets. Come on back. We got a long way to go today. It's One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close. Kyle Brandt is good. Let's see. We're going to have him on every Tuesday right around this time. I like having him on.
Yeah, it was great.
I think he's good. I think it adds a league-wide perspective. He's got a great sense of humor. He knows enough to play up to you, you know. As most of our guests have learned, that's an important part of the show. No, he was good. I look forward to next Tuesday already. What about you?
Yeah, I am. We'll get some of his thoughts about each weekend he's right. You kind of get to Wednesday, you start to turn the page.
Mm-hmm. Today's that transitional day. Today we're talking a little bit about the Bills' win over the Jets and what they did on offense. Yes, only 17 points, but there were some interesting things going on. A 60-40 pass-to-run ratio. Last year they were 48% run. They were fourth most in the league in terms of runs. Some big plays. 18 straight pass plays to start the game. Our question on Twitter, the Bills opened against the Jets by calling 18 consecutive pass plays. They finished the game 60% pass, 40% run. Is this an indication of the new Buffalo offense this year? What do you think? On Twitter, we got more than 1,000 votes in so far, and most of you say no. 64% say no, it's game plan specific. That's what they did against the Jets. 28% say yes, more passing. What took them so long? That's the rest of the NFL. and 9% say, nope, they need more of the run game. We're interested in your thoughts on that. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Send in a tweet at One Bills Live, and we might read it on the tweet sheet. A call here, Steve. Let's go to Tom in Rochester. Hi, Tom. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to make a couple of points. As far as the offense, I mean, I thought it was great. I mean, they won by 1 point. The kicker misses the field goal or the extra point, and so they win the game. That way, they're fortunate enough to win the game. It was exciting to see the offense. It was exciting to see them pass as many times as they did. However, I noticed that Josh Allen, when he threw the ball, he would just throw it right to his receiver instead of looking the other way or faking the ball, you know.
Take a look at the John Brown touchdown, the game-winning touchdown play, the go-ahead touchdown play.
Well, maybe I missed that point.
Take a look at that one.
The other
go ahead.
Thing I wanted to, was the tight ends. Why aren't they using the tight ends? I remember Jim Kelly always saying if he couldn't get his receiver, he would go out, he would make sure he could try to get to his tight end if nobody else was available.
Yeah, I wouldn't get too upset on who he targeted. I think he did reach Sweeney on a long throw after he scrambled. The tight ends will be around. They'll come out. I think this is a little bit had to do with the way the Jets were playing and what they were doing up front. They came out in 21 personnel, two tight ends, 22 personnel actually for a while, two tight ends, two backs. DeMarco was on the field. He had a couple of catches early, and I was telling Murph, he'll probably have four catches on the year. Two of them were in this game, and the other two are going to be in the other Jet game. That's kind of the way that stuff happens sometimes. But don't get too worried about who he targeted and why. All those guys are going to get plenty of targets throughout the year. And I think this was just kind of a specific kind of opening day salvo where they came out, spread the field out all of a sudden, and Josh was picking those guys off inside, really inside the slot receivers. They were right over the ball, the guys he was throwing it to on that first drive anyway. So don't get too caught up in that, but I agree with you. This offense, after 1 week, looks way different than it did a year ago.
Yeah, it was exciting to see that.
Thanks, Tom. Let's go to Barry in Buffalo. Hello, Barry. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. Listen, guys, I think it's going to be game-specific, but I think they're going to throw more this year for the simple reason that with the weapons that they have now, teams are going to have to respect our pass game. And when they come out with a secondary like the Jets, obviously they had the game plan to throw more. But what's going to improve the run game is the fact that last year I don't think our pass team was respected because we didn't have the weapons. I mean, let's be honest, our wide receivers were almost nothing as far as productivity last year. So I think when they can go five wide, I think that not only is it going to keep the rush off of Allen because they can't blitz as much, which I thought they did a great game plan against a guy like Greg Williams that wants to blitz so much. But again, when our pass game is respected now, the run game is going to improve. And I'll tell you what, guys, give a big shout out to the tight ends. I know they only had three catches combined, but I'll tell you what, Lee Smith proved why he's one of the better blocking backs. And I think it was Sweeney, if I'm not mistaken, had an unbelievable block on that 20-yard run to the Singletary had in the third. So I'm excited, guys. I'll tell you what, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if Josh completes 64.8% of his passes all year and can average that, this could be a scary team as good as this defense is. And right now, I'm liking Steve's 11-plus prediction at the beginning of the year a little more than my 9-7.
Do you like the 11 or the plus?
Yeah, the plus is. That's a home playoff game.
You're crazy about the plus, Murph. But
plus is a home playoff game.
He should say 12 if he thinks it's more than 11.
The plus is the home playoff game.
So exactly. And what's wrong with 11-5? Andy thinks we're going to win a home. Andy thinks we're going to win a playoff game. That's what I loved about his prediction. Guys, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm ready to go to the Meadowlands tomorrow. let's win the games we should win and then play extra good against the teams that we might be an underdog against. And I'll tell you what, guys, I think this is going to be a really, really special team. Love the show. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks
very much, Barry.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, win the games you should win. And I think, and this is to your point, which we'll talk about as the week goes along, people look at this as a win they should get.
Everybody's ticking this one off.
Yeah.
I'm not. Check mark.
I got to look at the Giants video first before
right.
I get there.
Listen, the Giants have got some guys, and you can poo-poo. They lost OBJ. They, you know, all that stuff. Eli's past his prime. They got a quarterback controversy. They want to see Daniel Jones play. All that stuff's going on over there. But that's a team that's still that's trying to win, and they've got some really good players over there. Eli Manning's won two Super Bowls. I mean, he's not going to lay down for anybody, and he's got some skills. He's got a mental ability to rally that team. So you think after the week one and the offseason that has happened and the pluses and minuses of both teams, you think, yeah, the Bills are now good enough to beat that team. Maybe last year we wouldn't have thought that.
Right.
This year you do. But they got to play. The Bills have got to show up. And their offense still has a lot of bugs to work out. So we'll see if they can get that done in the Meadowlands. But like I said, they're going to – emotionally and mentally, the Bills should be all over this game because they're going right – it'd almost be like a home game, you know. Second week in a row, same locker room,
same hotel.
Because that's what you do at home.
Yeah.
Think about it. After next week, after they play the Bengals, they've still played more games in MetLife than they have here.
That's right. You're right. Here's a call from Peter. Hello, Peter. Go ahead. You're on the air.
How you doing? Love the show, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, I don't know if you guys touched on this at all, but, with everything the NFL is doing with player safety, this, what's his name, Henry Anderson from the Jets?
Yeah, defensive tackle.
He had like three or four blatant late hits. Well, one was on the back of Allen's knees. I don't recall any penalties being called on him.
No. I didn't see three or four. I saw the one that Sal highlighted on video. It was a late hit. He kind of rolled into Josh from the side.
Tried to make it, and it made it look like he was stumbling.
Yeah.
And
maybe
was
he was stumbling.
Late. He was very late. I'm sure. But he surely didn't. He wasn't trying to avoid him. There's no question it was deliberate to me.
Really?
It was a weak hit, and I think he was just – I don't think he was really trying to hurt him, but I think he was trying to send a message, no question, like, hey, I was here, and you better watch out kind of thing. But he's also the guy that hit Hauschka last year, same guy, is the guy that whacked Hauschka and injured him last year. There are guys like that around. You got to – and I agree with you. I would have thought they would have thrown the flag on that. As late as it was, as innocuous as it seemed, I would have thrown the flag.
I looked at that. I'm not sure. They really do protect quarterbacks, Steve. You need more?
Well, if the guy's doing it like that, yeah, you need to take that out. You can't let that guy do that.
Okay.
As little and meaningless as it was, it was deliberate.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Scott in Charlotte. Hello, Scott. You're on the air with us.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a couple of observations and actually a question to kind of finish off my call. I love the aggressive play style, Preston and Josh. I mean, all this talk about accuracy and the growth from year one to year two, I thought he showed great promise. And I also wanted to give John Brown a shout-out. I mean, everyone sees him as just this guy that could burn it down the field and that's a one-trick pony, but he ran all those routes great. He had a great game all around. And my question would be, since the excitement we got from Singletary, do you expect him to get maybe closer to 15 touches this second game, or do you still think it's going to be around 12 to 15 or 15 to 20? I just want to kind of get your opinion on that.
Yeah, we were talking before the show here today, Steve. It's an interesting case. I'm looking at my notes here, but what do you have, 60% of the snaps, right? Well, let me look. I'm not going to guess.
He was on the field a ton.
Yeah, but didn't get a ton of carries.
And 70% of the snaps, wasn't it?
Yeah, let me look that up. Here it is. 70% of the offensive snap, but only got four carries all in the second half. 70 yards, a couple of 20-plus yards runs, and another one for 15. Yeah, I expect him to get more work. I think, he had the drop on the first pass thrown to him and a bobble and a catch on an earlier pass in the first half, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Bills coaching staff said, let's just take it easy. Let's work him in. And now I think, even after just four carries, I think he's in, and they see what he can do. I think they got to be impressed with what he can do.
He was on the field a ton before they started handing him the ball. And I think that's exactly the way you want to do it. Get him in the field. Let him see. Let him compete with these guys, even though he's not carrying the ball. And put him into pass routes. They threw the ball to him a couple of times. He He caught the he missed the first one, and the second one even he bobbled. And then after that, he seemed to be fine. More than fine, right? I mean, he showed up in a big way. I think now he's going to come into this game thinking, okay, this is my spot, and he's going to feel a lot more comfortable, and they'll turn him loose. I would suspect, and this is we've all seen it, you know, with all the players ever in the history of the league, when you start playing good, you start getting more opportunities. That's just the way it works. You don't take money out of a home out of a good investment. You put more money in,
yeah.
And that's what Motor is right now. He's the guy that you want to keep investing in.
Tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. On Twitter, we asked the question: was Sunday an indicator of the new look Buffalo Bills offense? Ryan tweets in: see the mid-game adjustments makes A an easy answer. A being no, it'll be game plan specific. And he goes on to say: absent the turnovers in the first half, Daboll had their number, even if the box score media ignores that fact. Getting lost here. Jets lost Mosley. They went straight to the edge with Motor. Yeah, I think what he's saying, what he may be saying here, Ryan, is that Daboll had their number. He said the Bills were moving the ball and turned it over in the first half, moving the ball. They had their number. And the box score media, I guess, ignores that fact. I don't know what that means. What does that mean? Help me.
Well, it means that the turnovers kept them from their numbers being really good in the first half. And he says also that when the C.J. Mosley went out of the game, they started handing the ball off almost immediately, and you know, Singletary made hay. 4 carries, 70 yards. I mean, he was snapping off big runs, almost scored on one of them. So, yeah, I agree with that. They were all over it. They had their nose to the ground, their eyes on the other team, and when they lost some really good players, they got the matchups they wanted, and they went after them. And the Bills' offensive line took that game over. Wow, how long has it been since anybody said that, right? The fourth quarter of that game, the Bills' line came up, and they put 2 85-yard drives together, 70 yards of which were runs from one guy. That's big.
Yeah.
That is really big. And they got it done.
One more tweet from Tyler, who says, I'm going with A and B both, meaning he says it's going to be game plan specific and it's about time they threw it more. Tyler goes on to say more passing will definitely be added, but the Bills will game plan to hopefully exploit any defensive weaknesses, whether it's passing or rushing defense. And the important part, and we mentioned this, you mentioned this, Steve, and I 100% agree, they have the capability of doing more passing now, right? They have the viable passing game that it was so necessary based on the way they were compared to where they were a year ago.
That's exactly what you said you wanted. We had some Twitter poll. Yeah, some Twitter poll in our past.
Right at the start of training camp,
that was
my goal.
You just wanted to have a viable passing. It's something that made people sit back and cover guys up and, you know.
I think they might have it. You know, it's one game.
I think so.
But I think
they did in that game. Yeah, they did. And now they got to do it week in, week out, and they got to do it. I think you're right. They still have some things to prove even to us,
yeah.
Right? We've still got some question marks about it because the turnovers kind of threw a wrench into what we saw. And the fact that we don't know what the Jets are really either, right? So, yeah, that was a good first step, no question about it. But they do have some things that even fans like us and people who cover the team and kind of, you know, have some skin in the game, you want to see this first. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I think that's where we're at. Really good first game, a really good comeback. The mistakes that were made and the things that held them back, to me, is what I said earlier in the week. This team seems to have so much more under the hood, and they kept reaching under the – and they kept pulling the, you know, distributor cap off, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They couldn't get the engine revved because they kept pulling the wire loose, right? So if they can get in these games, like in the Giants, and not turn the football over and do everything they want to do, I think the guys are in a position – to execute these plays. I think they got guys who are executing really well. They got a quarterback who's distributing the ball. They got an offensive line that's really competitive. At least they were this last week against a really good front seven. So I got to see it, though. You got to see it again. You know, you got to see it and see them do it a different way. I think that's the big thing, right?
Yep. Yeah.
You see them do it a different way than
Keep
they did this
it.
Last week.
Hey, another thing I told you months ago was how John Brown was important. John Brown is important. In fact, he, it turns out, is great on opening day. It's time for New York State Lottery Inside the Numbers. John Brown caught the game-winning touchdown, the go-ahead touchdown, the 38-yard pass from Josh Allen. John Brown now has 4 touchdowns in 6 season-opening games played. 6 season openers, four touchdowns. He did it with the Cardinals, and he did it twice with the Cardinals, once with the Ravens last year against the Bills, did it again Sunday. John Brown, four touchdowns in six season openers. There you go. New York State Lottery inside the numbers. Take a break from the expected play scratch-off games from the New York Lottery. Steve and I coming back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker coming to you from our Seneca studio at One Bills Drive. And Kyle Brent mentioned it earlier this hour. That game, I didn't watch game two last night. I did not watch Oakland and Denver.
You stayed
up and watched, which accounts for your mood today. Yeah. But that first game last night was amazing. Best game of the year by far. Best game I've seen, to be honest with you, since the opening Sunday night game a year ago, the Packers and the Bears.
It was the same kind of thing. Yep. I got to tell you, the lead changed three times in the last minute, and it was amazing. They get the ball back with, 45 seconds to go, and they're down six. Two plays, and they're in the end zone. One big play to DeAndre Hopkins down the sideline. The very next snap, they're in the end zone with the guy they just traded for, Kenny Stills. He's in the end. Two plays, boom. 37 seconds left in the game. And then the guy misses the extra point. They roll up on the kicker's legs. His legs go out from under him. It's a good call, easy call, stupid play.
Yep.
But he missed the extra point, but the flag comes right out. They get to redo it. They take the lead with the extra point, right? So the New Orleans fans are absolutely, their heads are exploding because the officials called this. But it was a good call. It was easy. So the guy makes the extra point on the second try. So now it's 28-27 Texans, 37 seconds to go. They went the length of the field it's over. Drew Brees comes out.
And starts throwing darts.
Boom. 16 yards down the ground. Let's run up. They run up. They spike the ball. Next, second and 10. They go down. Boom. And they're across the 50, right? Down to the Texans 49. Now they need 9 yards to get it in. They get it. They get a 9-yard catch. It's at the 40-yard line of the Texans with 2 seconds to go. The kid drills a 58er to beat him.
Will Lutz, 58-yard game-winning field goal at the buzzer.
I couldn't believe it was happening. Because we've all, oh, my gosh, here in Buffalo, we've seen it a zillion times. We have no shot at doing that, right? We could back when I was playing, when Jim and then we had five Hall of Famers, yeah, okay, you'd do that. It's been a long time. Let me tell you this, too.
Since what?
Since the Bills had a guy or players or a team that you thought, yeah, we're going to do that.
Well, you saw Sunday's game. That was kind of a nice comeback.
Yeah, it was.
Don't discount that.
It was different. They had to run the clock out. I mean, it was different.
Right. It wasn't buzzer beater.
But here's the thing.
Yeah, I got you.
Name, and now the Bills, you got to aim too. How many guys are there in the league even now who you think, oh, that might be a little too much time, 37 seconds and a timeout?
Two.
Right?
And that was one of
them. It was two.
Yeah. Can I say this about that? Two things about that game. I have brand new respect for Deshaun Watson. I knew he was good, talented, but he was throwing strikes all night long. He got hammered, six sacks, right? He was throwing strikes, and they've got to keep him upright. Number two, and look, I love the city of New Orleans. I cried at Katrina, what was that, 14 years ago?
Yeah.
I love the comeback of the city of New Orleans. I'm glad that the fans are into it. It's a great partisan crowd, but they got to drop the complaints.
No-call.
Yeah, the no-call stuff. And I blame Peyton for this. I mean, he went out and got the rule change. So now we have instant replay on pass interference. Look, is that what you need to motivate your team this year? Go ahead. But was it an ESPN narrative last night, or are they really, people dressed up as referees and no call? Come on.
ESPN highlighted.
It was a horrible call. It was one of the worst calls in a major championship game in any sport, but move on. They're too talented to be focused on that.
Yeah, they can't. And here's the thing, and what I sense is coming. Now, certainly they won last night and played great and really, you know, they deserve the win. But there's a couple of franchises. You'll see franchises to me from this distance. I mean, I'm not, you know, we don't live in New Orleans. We don't live in any of those other teams I'm going to mention. They get to the point where not only did they suffer a bad call the year before, so now they're entitled. They think there's no stopping them this year. They're going to go back to the NFC Championship game, and this time they're going to win it. Let me just remind you of the Minnesota Vikings of the last handful of years where they were so good, and they went back. With Dennis Green, they were unbeatable. And when they miss a field goal in the championship game, they don't get it. There's all these teams. The Chicago Bears strike me as a team that feels entitled to go back and make a deep run into the playoffs because they missed one kick last year in a division round. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The Saints don't deserve to go anywhere this year until they win, you know, nine more games.
Yeah, at least, yeah.
They're not doing it. The Rams, the same thing. The Chiefs, the same thing. None of these teams get any of it until they earn it again. So their fans can whine and cry and moan all they want. But that call last year doesn't get them anything this year.
No, nor should it.
And
it's gone.
And if you use that as motivation, if you say that's the only thing that did it, that's the wrong mindset. It's a wrong mindset. You got to come out and say, listen, this year we've got to play better. We've got to do better. We've got to be better. The Chiefs didn't go to the Super Bowl because they got a rockhead playing defensive end was offsides on a play they intercepted to run the clock out. Remember that?
I sure do.
The Chiefs aren't sitting there thinking, we're going to be all right. We should have beaten them. We had them. They may not be at home this year. That's the only chance you've got against that crew in New England.
Yep.
And that's so these teams that all these bad breaks happen to, and the Saints being the point in front and center right now, you don't deserve anything for that bad call. You get in line.
I got tired of that narrative watching
last night. There's 100 years of teams that will bellyache about the call they got
that's right.
jobbed on, right?
That's
100
right.
years of it.
Yep.
100. And the Saints, you're not even the best one.
Well, okay. Here's Butch on the line with us. Hello, Butch. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Steve and John, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I love you guys. I was just sitting back evaluating over the last 3 years of McDermott and Bean. And I remember when they first arrived here in Western New York, they looked at our roster and said, we need more talent. And they really started getting rid of name players. They started just cutting people. And people in Buffalo, Western, including myself, was like, what are these guys doing? Over the 3 years, when you build through the draft of what they did, they've been hitting on draft picks. Not just collecting them and putting them on their roster, but actually playing them and getting game time action. It's that your question about the offense moving forward this year, when you look at Sweeney, a seventh rounder, when you look at Knox, a third rounder, when you look at Cody Ford, a second rounder, when you look at Devin Singletary, a third rounder, and not just they're in the roster and uniform, they're actually playing and providing and actually making a difference so far. They did it in the training camp. They did it in the preseason. It's carried over to the first game. And I just wanted to take my hats off and take a bow to One Bills Drive, the draft department, the player personnel, Bean, McDermott. And like McDermott said in his press conference, the staff. He always talks about the staff. And I applaud that because, you know what, we finally got it right. And for the people out there who maybe still, you know, they're second-guessing the team, please put the brakes on it a little bit. We're still young. We're still building. Let's enjoy what we have. Like he said, take one game at a time. But I enjoy watching these young players. And last but not least, John and Steve, and I love you guys, Shaq Lawson, we take care of our own. Make sure at the end of the season we cannot lose him. He's one. We drafted him. We brought him here. We developed him. Yeah, it took him a while to come along, but he's here now.
Yeah, he's playing well. Butch, thanks. And I'm sure that McDermott and Bean appreciate your sentiments, but I'm also fairly certain that they're not ready to take any bows.
Yeah.
They want to know there's no bows being taken. They're not ready to celebrate anything here, right?
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, they've certainly – they have done – a really nice job of staying inside the lines and getting their house in order and moving everybody in the right direction, discarding pieces, bringing pieces on. And this league is built on very young players these days, you know, these young rookie contracts who can really contribute and allow you to keep other key players. But, yeah, their work is far from over. And they're the first to admit it. They need to get some wins in their win column in addition to the one they just got.
All right, a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk with Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN NFL Nation Bills reporter. He'll be in studio with us to talk about last Sunday's game at MetLife and this Sunday's game at MetLife. Come on back. One Bills Live, presented by Collada Health on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.